Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Good morning, church. My name is Bob Martin. I'm one of the leaders of Stephen Ministry and an elder commissioner to the presbytery. Please join me in our unison prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Loving God, living Word, help us be present to your Spirit, moving us in Scripture, that both comforts and challenges. Breathe your holy wisdom into human words. Open our hearts and minds to your good news. Amen. Today's first scripture reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 56, verses 1 through 8. Listen to God's word. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. Happy is the mortal who does this, the one who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and refrains from doing any evil. Do not let the foreigner join to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And do not let the eunuch say, I am just a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose the things that please me, and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it, and hold fast my covenant. These I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. Second scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Friends, let us pray. Please join with me in the Spirit. O holy and gracious God, may my words this day be your words, and may they be planted in our hearts and minds in the days and weeks to come, so that we can continue to open your circle of welcome and love to every single one of your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A few weeks ago, our high school youth went on our trip to Presbyterian Youth Triennium. And in the weeks and even the hours leading up to the trip, there was plenty of excitement. But most of the youth were also pretty honest with me. They were nervous. They were anxious about being away from home, and they were unsure about spending a week with kids. They didn't know that well, even within our own youth group, only to have to meet even more kids from across the country and around the world. But something started to shift as the week went on. Our youth began learning each other's names. They started saving seats for each other, making room at meals and next to each other in worship. They were constantly calling out to one another, inviting their new friends to join them in whatever they were doing. And by the end of the week, that nervousness had turned into something else entirely. There was laughter and there were inside jokes and there was the kind of comfort that comes from knowing, truly knowing that every single one of them belonged. It's almost funny that in less than a week, a group of individuals or even perhaps a group of strangers truly becomes a community rooted in belonging. And that's not unique just to teenagers or our high school youth that went on that trip, because the thing is, we all hunger for belonging. Like a child standing at the edge of a playground, waiting to see if anyone invites them to play. Or a teenager sitting in a crowded cafeteria, wondering if the seat next to them is going to stay empty. Or even an adult in the middle of church fellowship, holding a cup of coffee, but wondering, is anyone going to come over and talk to them? And sometimes I think we forget the damage that is done when a community like a church preaches belonging and acceptance and says, all are welcome here, while actively telling people and groups of people that they don't belong, that they are not accepted, and yes, that they are welcome as long as they look, act, speak, and be just like the rest of us. That hunger for belonging is exactly what is at the heart of our Isaiah passage this morning. Isaiah 56 begins or opens the third section of Isaiah. And this is now a prophecy spoken to God's people after their exile in Babylon. They had come home to their city in ruins. The temple had to be rebuilt, and the walls of Jerusalem were rising again. But so were the invisible walls between God's people. Some of the leaders began defining belonging in narrower and narrower ways. It was only for those who had the right ancestry, or only those who conformed to the purity laws, or only those whose lives fit cultural expectations, only those who were just like those already gathered. But everyone else needed to be kept at a distance. And so God gives them a shocking words. God says through Isaiah, do not let the foreigner joined to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And do not let the eunuch say, I am just a dry tree. God is speaking to those who have already been gathered, those who already felt belonged, about two different groups of people, those who had been pushed to the outside, the foreigner and the eunuch, both outsiders who had been told by law and by culture that they do not belong to God's community. Eunuchs in particular occupied a space outside of the male and female binary. In the ancient world, this made them permanent outsiders. And even scripture earlier said this as well. In Deuteronomy, there was a verdict that said eunuchs belong on the outside. But here, God is reversing that verdict. Isaiah's vision tears down the walls that God's people had been building, because God promises these same outsiders, the foreigners and the eunuchs, not just a welcome into God's house, but a name better than sons and daughters, an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And it's an audacious thing for God to say. Because God is not just saying that these outsiders now belong to the community. God is saying that the outsiders will be given a name that is greater than the very categories they were told they would never fit into. That name, that everlasting name, is grounded in what we know as the Imago Dei, the image of God. If every human bears the image of God, then every human bears the worth, dignity, and love of God. Scholar Amy Oden puts it beautifully. She says, God's covenant is defined by behavior, not biology, by moral and ethical commitment, not race or ethnicity or gender identity. The Imago Dei is not partial. It's not dependent on one's gender or gender conformity. It's not dependent on sexual orientation, ethnicity, citizenship status, or any label that culture has used to divide us. It is the simple truth that before we were anything else in this world, we were born as God's image bearer. Genesis, in the very beginning, Genesis tells us God created humankind in God's image. In the image of God, God created them. Male and female, God created them. Now, before we get stuck on that male and female part, you need to understand that in Hebrew, the way this is written, male and female is written as a merism. And a merism is two ends of a spectrum, but is meant to accompany the whole or to encompass the whole. But even if that wasn't the case, if Genesis is really talking about a male and female binary, Isaiah shows us that God's love doesn't stop there at the binary. Because Isaiah says, a name better than sons and daughters. And then even Paul writes to the Galatians, there is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Today, as we call today Imago Dei Sunday, this is also the day that our greater community is celebrating Lehigh Valley Pride for the LGBTQIA+ community. And so today, as a worshiping community, we are saying that today is not a departure from God's word or what we've been taught, but today is a celebration of God's word. And it's more than just a celebration, because today is also public witness to a truth that God has said from the beginning, that those who have been excluded, shamed, or erased by the church are in fact image bearers of God, beloved image bearers of God, and that God's welcome does extend to every corner of humanity. And that is good news for everyone, even straight and cisgender people, because if God's welcome can stretch wide enough to include those that the world has pushed to the outside, then we know with certainty that there will always be room for you. And if God's love is strong enough to give an everlasting name to people who have been told that they will have no name, then you can trust that that same everlasting name has already been given to you. And as a community, we have the opportunity to share God's expansive and inclusive love with everyone we meet. And we must do this if we want to bear good fruit. In Matthew 7, our second passage for today, Jesus says to the disciples, you will know them by their fruits. And you don't need to be an arborist to understand healthy trees bear good fruit, while diseased trees bear bad fruit. And the kind of fruit we bear depends on what's rooted deep inside us. If our life together is rooted in God's justice and welcome, the kind of welcome that Isaiah describes, then the fruit we produce will look like that. joy, mercy, hospitality, courage, compassion, peacemaking, love. But if our life together is rooted in fear, or in the need to protect ourselves by keeping others out, or by using scripture to wound instead of heal, then our fruit will look like that too. Bitterness, division, suspicion, exclusion, hate. And Jesus's explanation about whether you know it's a good tree or a bad tree is simply look at the outcomes. If our faith lifts people up, helps them claim the name that God has given them, and affirms the image of God found within them, then that's good fruit. But if our faith withholds love, diminishes someone's dignity, or ignores the image of God in them, then it's rotten fruit, no matter how religious it might seem. 6 years ago, on the day you called me to be one of your pastors, I stood here in this pulpit and I preached my first sermon to you called Recovering Image Bearers. I told you then that the mission of God is to seek and to find the ones who have been told that they are not part of the flock. And that when God celebrates them, the entire community rejoices with joy, because it's not just a recovery of a person, it's the recovery of God's image. In that same sermon, I told you my story for the very first time, and I told you my story as a queer youth in the church. One of my youth leaders told me that God punishes people for loving someone of the same gender. And I was already wrestling with my own identity. I was already carrying the fear that I was different. And now I was questioning whether this part of me was also lovable. And when I heard those words spoken as if they were God's truth, I believed them. I believed the lie that God was against people like me. And as a 12-year-old in the church, I began to hate this part of myself. I can tell you, any youth who hates themselves because of what the church preached is bearing bad fruit. And it took years, years for me to undo this lie. Years to believe again that my identity, my whole self, was also made in the image of God. But you all know my story, because I'm here now. God did it through family and friends who loved me unconditionally, through mentors who spoke blessings over me, through strangers who offered hospitality, and eventually through communities of faith who said with their words and their actions that people like me belong in God's house. They gave me back the name that I had forgotten, my everlasting name, Beloved. Over the past 5 years here, I have seen us become that kind of community for others. Together, we have worked to make our life together match the wideness of God's welcome. We've welcomed children and youth into worship leadership, into mission and justice work, into service. We've baptized babies and adults alike, calling each by name and then claiming them by God's everlasting name for them, Beloved. We've opened our doors for decades to immigrants and refugees, walking alongside them in resettlement and friendship. We've partnered with organizations to shelter families experiencing homelessness. We've prayed publicly for the marginalized. We've named injustice from this pulpit, and we've displayed banners and signs that declare God's love for everyone. We've sent youth and we've sent adults into the community and across the country to serve and to learn and to share God's love. And we've stood with neighbors after acts of violence and hate. And maybe, most importantly, As a community of faith, we've made room for people to arrive just as they are. We've seen those who have come to this church uncertain if they belonged and helped them find a home in this community. We watched people who have been wary of the church discover that here, everyone is seen, valued, and loved. I have seen all of you call each other by God's everlasting name, beloved. Friends, this is what it looks like to recover image, the image bearers, to recover the image of God found in each person. This is what it looks like for a community to bear good fruit. And so today on Imago Dei Sunday, we proclaim it again. You are beloved. The foreigner is beloved. The immigrant is beloved. The refugee is beloved. The eunuch is beloved. The queer child is beloved. The trans teenager is beloved. The non-binary stranger we meet on the street is beloved. The person who has been told that they don't belong to God's house is beloved. The one who is still searching for a home and a community is beloved. And the one who is here questioning today whether they are even loved at all, they too are beloved. Every single one of us bears the image of God. And over every single one of us, God speaks that everlasting name, beloved. Friends, the world is still hungry, full of people, or the world is still full of people hungry for belonging. There are people in our community wondering if there is a place for them in the house of God. There are people who still question every single day whether they are loved. But you and I have the chance, or really the calling to look them in the eye and remind them of the everlasting name that has been given to them. Beloved. And so, friends, I hope we do exactly that. Today and all days, let us remind one another the name that we have been given by God. Beloved. In the name of the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, in the name of the one who names us beloved. Amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.